Welcome back to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and joining us during this segment of the program are Richard C. Mullins, Jr. He is the Executive Assistant to the President at Central Connecticut State University Institute of Technology and Business Development, and the Director of the Central Connecticut State University L.U. Burritt Library, Carl Antonucci. And we welcome you both to Front and Center.
Dan, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much.
And you are both welcome. Richard, we'll start with you. Talk a bit about the Institute of Technology and Business Development at CCSU.
Well, Dan, thank you very much again for this opportunity. And I really appreciate Bernard Cavalier with Express Strategies making the referral from the Hartford Business Expo. The Institute of Technology and Business Development was formed back in 1985 in the School of Engineering and Technology. And it was in a direct response to business and industry around looking to raise the skills of the workforce for global competitive reasons. And those companies like Stanley Black & Decker, Winslow Automated Machine, Pratt & Whitney, all had needs for raising the level of their supervisors on their shop floors to make better parts for the aerospace industry, the automotive industry, et cetera. And the way that they could do that was by empowering their workforce. Many of their employees were students of CCSU early on and were familiar with the faculty in the School of Engineering and Technology, and as a result, reached back to the university to say, can you do some of these courses that you do for credit on site at our companies to help us meet these global challenges. Hence, we were formed. And initially as the Center for Industrial and Engineering Technology in 85, and then as we evolved and moved to the downtown campus in 1993, became the Institute of Industrial and Engineering Technology. And then in 2002, we were renamed the Institute of Technology and Business Development because we were then reflecting the different kinds of businesses we were working with. Initially, it was manufacturing, but today we work with healthcare, banking, finance, IT, engineering, manufacturing, a whole host of different organizations.
And by the way, it has become such a success over the years. You're now in the Connecticut Business Hall of Fame. Is that correct?
That's correct. In 2011, we were inducted into the Connecticut Business Hall of Fame for the services that we provide to Connecticut businesses. At ITBD, we have some distinctive business units. One unit is the Business Incubation Program. Dan, we've had over 100 companies come through the university from infancy, stage one, and transition to stage two, and some even transition to stage three. Of course, some people say, well, Rick, how many failed? And, you know, the answer is none of them failed. They realized that maybe they shouldn't have quit their day job, that this was a hobby and not a real business interest. Our business incubator program is the only one in Connecticut that has a five-year life cycle program, and that truly has proven to be a success factor in helping to launch these businesses. Our conference center in downtown New Britain is very well equipped with state-of-the-art technology. I just looked at the numbers. Last year, in fiscal year 2016, we served over 41,000 people through downtown New Britain. Now, that's pretty remarkable. That city parking garage is pretty full. And it is a direct result of the businesses, organizations that come and use our conference center for their own business practices or some of ours. Another aspect of workplace activities is training, and that was our cash cow. That was the thing that got us started, and we continue to do that at companies locally in New Britain, all over the state, and we've done some international work with people like Hyundai in the past, where we've had executives come for that type of training and progressive business techniques and so forth, and be residential for 2 weeks in the summertime. So workforce development, economic development has been our core. However, you know, as the campus has evolved, and you know there's a lot of development going on our campus. You've probably heard about some of the new dormitories and the new food facility, cafeteria up by Arutt Field. We have a new School of Engineering coming online. We have some classrooms going down as a result of these renovations. So more of the classes from campus are migrating downtown, and more of the business offices that don't necessarily work directly with students have migrated downtown. I think right now we have 14 business offices from the campus downtown. This has become an ecosystem in the New Britain community and for the university. We, of course, have our main campus operation on 1615 Stanley Street, where you see most of the students and the dormitories and so forth, and the L.E. Burt Library, which we'll be talking about today. But the downtown is that economic system that works with business and industry to help companies improve productivity and operational performance. We're dedicated to workforce development and economic development in Connecticut.
This is just a fabulous story. Now, Carl, how does the L.E.U. Burritt Library factor into all of this?
Well, I met Rick at an informal campus event, and I had known him, and we're a large campus, so it's hard to get to know people. But I'm trying to reach out with the library and make it more of a community hub, more of a non-traditional library that's not just all about books, but about finding knowledge and using knowledge to create things, kind of knowledge creation. And in libraries nowadays, you see a lot at the public libraries, there's this new movement called the makerspace movement where people will come in to the community place and use 3D printing. Some have sewing machines, soldering irons to create things. And Rick had a marvelous program running at the downtown campus also with 3D printing. So we thought that we should collaborate because a lot of what the students create and they want to run a business, there's some knowledge that they have to have behind that. Like, for instance, patent searching, and our reference librarians can help them with that. There's also how to do a business plan, and our reference librarians can use some of our vast array of databases to help them with that, and also to do research about the community that they might want to sell their product in or open their business. So we thought it was a good collaboration, and we had the 3D printing and innovation lab at the downtown campus as well. And that way, when students and business and community is down there, they can also take advantage of those services. We also have some librarians that know coding, so they've been helping Rick with the classes down there to teach students how to do coding for their different business projects that they want to do. So it's been a great partnership. And again, just to get out of our traditional mode at the library of just being a repository for books and to become kind of alive and outworking with the community, because we are open to the public, the library, and a lot of great resources that residents of Connecticut can come to use. And we want to outreach more to the community.
Okay. The public might not know this. It is the library is open to the public.
Yes, we're open to the public. You can't use our databases remotely, but you can use them at the library. And we do have reference librarians at all the hours that the library is open for help. So if you need some help in anything, you know, you're out of a job, you want to come and do a job search again, you can come to the library and we'll help you with all of those resources that we have. And that's what we figure, because our students graduate and a lot of times they'll graduate and be in a job and they'll say, well, hey, you know, do a research project here at the job, research something. So we want to make them learn how to find quality information that is the best information that we have, and our experts at the library can help. So we want to kind of change our role just as a sleepy place where you're quiet and we can kind of make some noise in the library.
Talk a bit about 3D printing, because it is the rage, yet some people might not know what 3D printing is all about.
Well, we'll have Rick help me with this as well, because they really have an innovative program. But using a computer program, you can take an idea and using the software and actually create a 3D image. We've had some students in the library use it, and they wanted to create some cases for their cell phones. So they've done that. And Rick can chime in now, because he's had some great people from the business community create things using our 3D printing.
Yeah, Rick, talk about that for just a moment.
Well, Dan, you know, there's a show off Broadway called Godspell, and there's a song that comes to mind that says, "Don't hide your light under a bushel." And truthfully, by engaging ITBD and the L.E.U. Burritt Library and the TRIO program, we have really brought that light out from underneath the bushel, if you will. And 3D printing is certainly the innovation of the 21st century when it comes to making parts. And at ITBD, many of our clients, business clients, manufacturing clients, are looking ways to improve productivity and operational performance. And one of those techniques is using CAD systems, computer-aided design, SolidWorks in particular. SolidWorks is a 3D modeling tool, and from that we can make an STL file. And from an STL file, we can import that file into a digital content and transfer it to a MakerBot. And we bought three MakerBots at ITBD in partnership with the library and with the TRIO program, a federally funded program, the talent search program that works with New Britain High School, middle school, and high school students. And the 3D printing aspect of this allows a student, whether it be a CCSU student or a community student from the high school, or one of the students from campus that's in the engineering or business program that's a mentor in the TRIO program, to work with students on helping to take ideas and create reality. In the manufacturing sense, we're familiar with subtractive manufacturing, Dan. You know, you'd put a piece of bar stock in a chuck between a couple of centers, you'd start spinning it, twist-turning it, and you would cut it with a cutting tool. In the case of additive manufacturing, we're essentially using a tool like a liquid glue gun to deposit material exactly where the walls and structure is on the CAD drawing. So we're reducing waste. And when you are prototyping, you are making some scrap. You're proving out a concept, a theory, an idea, a practice, a characteristic on a part. So by using additive manufacturing and the SolidWorks model, we have a cornstarch resin material that's much like monofilament fishing line that goes through a glue gun, and the cornstarch material, which is like a plastic, actually deposits exactly where on the drawing that line should be, in the right wall thickness, in the right dimension, and we have the capacity to make parts from the size of basically a 6x6 square, an 8x8, or up to 18 inches tall. We made a model of the Empire State Building, in fact, to kind of show the dimensionality and capability of the two machines. In addition to that, we added an ABS machine, a U-print machine. Now, that machine gives us the opportunity to do engineering testing, which, of course, many companies want. They want the prototype. They want to get it to a point at a cost-effective price that they can now begin to do some engineering testing. And ABS allows us to do that. The next step from that might be metal. And metal machines are extremely expensive. And there's a company in Middletown and one in New Britain, Ad Aero in New Britain comes to mind. They're doing titanium. These are the joints that you hear about, people having joints custom made for surgical purposes through Ad Aero and aerospace parts in very sophisticated materials. But the step between the ABS plastic and metals is this new fiber technology, which we just got the machine for. And we actually set it up on Friday, and we're beginning to run our first parts. But it allows us to make parts in a fiberglass-like material with either a carbon fiber, Kevlar, nylon, or straight fiberglass. So now we can make parts that are 24 times stronger than the ABS plastic and simulate aluminum very closely. Companies are using this technology not only to make final parts now, but they're using this technology to make tooling, because tooling is very expensive, Dan. You know, we don't often see the tooling. Those are the pieces that hold the finished good while the part is being machined and inspected and so forth. So we can reduce the cost of manufacture. We can reduce the time to market by using these additive techniques, because it doesn't take as long to make the tooling, and it certainly doesn't take as long to make the part. And once we have the part, we have the CAD drawing, so we can go to production very quickly once we've identified fit, form, function, and engineering capability. And we've done this for companies. We've done it, for example, with a part for Peter Paul Electronics and John Downey Drive, a part that was used in a fuel delivery system, a diesel fuel delivery system, where they were being threatened by their customer. They were going to go to somebody else unless they came up with a way of taking these 12 parts and doing it, making the part in one operation. Mark Mangiafico, the president of the company, came over 2 years ago before Thanksgiving and said, "Hey, Rick, can you do something with this?" We used our scanner and their files, and we made the part in two pieces now. They put the valve on top of the piece we made. They took it to their customer in Colorado the Monday after Thanksgiving, and they've retained the contract. We had a gentleman who had a very serious medical condition. He had his bladder removed, and 72, 73 years old, was a very active black belt, ninth-degree black belt, was also a professional golfer on the European tour. And as a result of that surgery, he had a stoma, and it would bleed when he performed his skills, both golfing and in karate. And he wanted a shield made. And after some gyrations of design and technique, we made the part, and a student worked on that part, and the student actually wore the bag for a week to get the experience of what the constraining factors are on a person with that medical condition. And the part has evolved, and he's filed for a a patent for the item, and I expect that he'll go off into production or his family. Well, he recently passed away, unfortunately. His family will retain the patent and go into production on the shield that was developed at ITBD. This is just one. We had another forensic accounting firm come to us with a concept. And, you know, you think about accountants, physical parts, they don't really make things. They review documents. They look at numbers. But the owner of this business was very adamant that he works with his clients on the balance of the business and ethics and morals and so forth. And he had this concept of a device and brought it to a student. And the student came up with two or three concepts right off the top of his head. Wow. And he said, you know, I've been looking at ideas for this for 3 or 4 years, and you guys did it in a week. That's the power of additive manufacturing.
And all of this the students work on in the downtown campus.
That is correct. In the School of Engineering, we have 3D printing machines. In Carl's facility, the L.E. Burt Library, he's got two machines. We have five machines in downtown New Britain. And our goal, as Carl had pointed out last year, was to put a curriculum together that involved the staff of the library and the students from the TRIO program in New Britain. You know, enrollments are declining. Graduations are declining as well. At high school, there's fewer kids graduating. We have to work really hard to recruit students to come to our university. Any university today has to work very hard. Well, by working with students in middle school and high school, particularly those students that come from a community that is poor, this shows them a way to get out of poverty by being able to take their idea and transform it into something real. And oh, by the way, maybe you come to CCSU to really get the education behind it to take that business at a whole new level. So our goal was to motivate and educate students in this additive manufacturing process. And it was a godsend working with Carl and his staff because I didn't realize he had a librarian that specialized in coating. Now, I'm not talking about putting coating on ice cream like you dip a cone at Dairy Queen. I'm talking about physical coating that you use in programming that you can take off the internet and you can process through an Arduino or a Raspberry Pi, a mini microprocessor, and connect to your keyboard and your CRT screen. And you can really make something happen. A young man that was in the program recently demonstrated a device he made with 3D printing where it plays Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and he's got the first baseball that he hit a Grand Slam home run with in high school.
Wow.
And he's given that to his mother, and he's very proud. He's got the date on there, and that's the integration. We want to see these students get motivated. We have also offered the program to students at the university last fall. And ironically, we had 12 students from the university. A couple of them were grad students and one faculty member that actually came to the program. And Carl's faculty and the engineering faculty worked with those students on integrating the SolidWorks modeling, the idea generation, the 3D coding, and a business plan model to help these students understand the total comprehensive experience in dealing in additive manufacturing. How could I make a business out of this? And one unique thing that we have at the downtown campus, I think Carl would agree, would be the New Britain Industrial Museum. Because when you talk to young people about innovation, it's very abstract. What do you mean by innovation? Right. You know? But when we take these students down to the New Britain Industrial Museum and we show them a Stanley Hinge or Corbin and Russwin lock and say, you know, somewhere back 50, 75 years ago, somebody realized in order to open and close that door, we needed something to clasp and hold those two pieces together. We can then relate to a student, what would you do today to innovate that hinge, to make that hinge more effective? And the students can actually then take the item that was made and kind of reverse engineer it and add their ideas to it. And that helps with the creativity and the interaction and the dynamics. The research piece is so critical because we want these students to research their idea and see if it is truly unique, that it's not just bronze coating or gold plating, if you will, something that exists. Do they really have something? And if they do really have something, maybe they want to major in entrepreneurialism in our school of business. Maybe they want to major in engineering in our school of engineering and technology. Or maybe they're a history buff and they want to create some simulation of a war or a historical event that they can use for learning purposes.
Carl, talk a bit more about this association with ITBD, the library, and ITBD.
Well, we want to work together because Rick has population that could really use the help of the research librarians, like Rick was saying, to actually take an idea and actually research around the idea and then actually create the idea. So we talked about in our library that we wanted to, have students create knowledge creation, and working with Rick, which is an unlikely partnership at the university and kind of a unique one if you look around the country that we have together, and we've also been going for some government grants that we hopefully will achieve together to keep this program going, where we can work with the most unlikely partners to kind of create something great and to just be open. And we have, he has the downtown campus that's open to people that could come in with ideas. We also have the library on the main campus, so students come in all the time, and a lot of them are engineering students, but some of them are not. They come in and they want to use the 3D printer just to try out an idea and to try to kind of create their knowledge. And to come together. We in the future, we want to have what's called a maker fair, where we can have all kind of people together with their ideas come into the library and work with ITBD and kind of use our technology just to create things and to be creative, to bring that sense of creativity back and to manufacture things again here. And as Rick mentioned, with the museum, industrial museum, it's been great too, because students can look at what was created in the past, the great manufacturing hub of New Britain, and maybe in the future bring it back to prominence once again.
We're talking with our guests here on Front and Center, Rich Mullins. He's with the Institute of Technology and Business Development, Executive Assistant to the President at CCSU, and also the Director of the CCSU Ilyu Burritt Library, Carl Antonucci, on Front and Center. And this is so exciting. So, Rick, if you're a potential entrepreneur and you're looking to your future, you're in high school and you want to be involved in business, own your own business or do something, how does your program help?
Dan, we're a learning community at the downtown campus. I talked about that ecosystem serving Connecticut businesses. But in this learning community, by bringing the resources of the university together, and that includes our students, who students learn from students, and that mentor-mentee relationship has been very strong. And Congresswoman Elizabeth Esty picked up on that and did a tour of our facility and was very aggressive in helping us identify some grant opportunities that Carl spoke about before. I don't want to mention the agency because I don't want people chasing me. I want to win these things, okay? And others can follow, but we did submit a couple of grant opportunities, and the integration of faculty, students, staff, and the community has been a real asset to the process of our ecosystem in downtown New Britain. Let me talk about those grants for a moment. One of the grants that we pursued with the library folks is through a professional organization, for lack of a better term, that supports these kind of endeavors and the future of learning and the future of utilization of libraries as learning communities, learning centers, and so forth. In one case, the grant we put in for in February was to take this model that we've put together in our Innovation Education Center and build a business practice of it, where we will have students and faculty from the School of Business Entrepreneurial Program, Engineering, the TRIO program on campus, working with students to understand the business model of this and get more formalized training in how to run a business. So that's where we're going to impact those young people in thinking about, what is a business model? How do I make money? How do I cover costs? What is overhead? The second grant that we jointly put together is a collaboration with the New Britain Public Library, Hungerford Park, because life sciences are a part of this. And, we talk about the physical nature of what we do in 3D printing, but there's also the natural science piece of this. We could take an X-ray and we can make a full skeleton. We could take a sample of a fossil and we can make a physical object from the earth sciences side of this equation. So there's a lot of dynamics that go on with these grants. But in particular, the grant that we submitted late April was to focus on bringing this community together in informal learning centers, where the university would provide instruction. We would buy 3D printers for those three community resources. And we would bring students and their parents in, ages 6 to 10 years old, and educate them in this process. Now, granted, it's going to be at a much lower level than the middle school or high school program. But the idea is to engage parents in this process so parents can reinforce in these students the interest in math, science, STEM. That's really what we're our core focus is in this area. There's addition, there's subtraction, there's multiplication, there's material properties, there's volumetrics, et cetera, all involved with this activity.
And we're running out of time, so I want to get a couple more questions in.
Sure,
if that's okay.
Sure.
You've got a golf tournament coming up, right?
Oh, we do.
Talk about that.
September 1st. It'll be our 19th annual golf outing. It'll be a chance for the business community to thank Jack Miller, our president, for the great support he's provided to the university. And we go from this golf tournament, we raise scholarships for students on our campus. Seven $500 scholarships, six undergraduate scholarships, one graduate level scholarship, and one scholarship for a student that went through the summer youth employment and work program like TRIO for scholarship to CCSU.
That's terrific. Have about a minute left. Rick, anything else you'd like to add?
Yeah, I do want to mention our training programs specifically too, because we have a very unique model in our faculty and residence program where we go into a company and we do a needs assessment of that company, people, process, and technology. We also look at the risk in those areas, high, moderate, and low risk, and come up with a comprehensive plan that we share with management and help them define the future of their organization. And then the faculty come in and spend 8 hours a month at the company and identify students in their classes to work on those projects and help them solve those problems.
We're going to get you back to talk about that.
That'd be awesome.
Thanks for joining us. Carl, anything else you'd like to add? We have about 15 seconds.
Well, just to say that, you know, our library is open to the public. So if people do have research that they'd like to do, we'd welcome them there and we'd be happy to help.
Terrific. Thank you both for being our guests on Front and Center.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.